Well, here again, though, Albert, is a situation where your body had been traumatized from multiple sclerosis, and all of a sudden you've got this ability to leave your body. There must be something to this.
Well, it didn't start with the MS, though. It started when I was 5 years old.
All right, before you were ill then.
Yeah, my earliest memory is when I was five, and I woke up paralyzed, and there was something, some shadowy figure calling my name sitting on the edge of my bed.
Okay.
That's my earliest memory.
So the MS came at...
That came 30-odd years later.
Okay.
But
okay.
I think, you know, I don't think the trauma aspect of it promoted it. Maybe, you know, there's a lot of things that happen to us that kind of kicks us into gear. And I think that my particular soul needed those things to happen to it to get me focused in this particular direction. Some of us may, you know, be struck by lightning like Daniel Brinkley on the phone,
mm-hmm.
and have to wake up in the morgue to get us going.
Yeah.
Others may just may meditate and get us going. But I think that that's what needed to happen to really convince me, because I have to tell you, 13, 14, 15 years ago, if you told me I'd be talking about this, let alone writing a book about it and traveling, lecturing about it, I would have thought you were crazy.
And you would have resigned your position with NASA.
Oh, well, I wouldn't. First of all, that was the one thing that I didn't want anybody. Here I was. I was flying to Johnson Space Center, and I was training, or Kennedy Space Center, and to Johnson in Texas, and training astronauts on how to assemble the space station in orbit. And the last thing I wanted to happen was for them to find out that I had written this book about my personal out-of-body experiences and was traveling out, you know, visiting friends in the middle of the night.
Oh, you think they wouldn't have trusted you?
Oh, God. And plus, I've had a secret clearance for going on 27 years. So there's no way I didn't want them to think I was mentally unstable or any of those type of things. So there was no way I wanted anybody in my career field to know that I was actually pursuing this and eventually believe.
So you were a little skittish of this, even though this was really happening to you. You felt that the stigma could have hurt you.
Well, I thought about it, how it would affect my credibility, because I had very high standings. I mean, I've worked on the stealth fighter. I remember when I was 18 years old, I was a crew chief on the Lockheed U-2. So I've always been in black programs, Skunk Works, things like that. And there's no way I wanted something, and I really wasn't convinced, you know, I didn't believe in out-of-body experiences, so I wasn't convinced that I was having a true spiritual experience. I was thinking maybe it was neurological, genetic, or I was looking for a physical abnormality.
Ah, okay.
So I didn't want to release it out and then them all of a sudden say, you know, hey, you're bordering on schizophrenia or something like that.
By the way, Albert, did any astronauts ever tell you about UFO sightings or anything while you were talking to them?
Well, I got a chance to talk to, I hope I don't get his name wrong, Dr. Schmidt.
Uh-huh.
And he did talk about some lights or things like that that he did see out one time outside of the capsule.
I sometimes think this is all related.
I think it is, too. I mean, I was listening to Gordo Cooper the other day on something that he was talking about, and there's just too many stories from professionals who've been there who've talked about seeing some type of unidentifiable phenomenon that appeared to be controlled by an intelligence. And these are, you know, even Jimmy Carter talked about
sure.
it. So, and like I said, I've had a secret clearance since I was 18 years old. And when I worked in SDI, Strategic Defense Initiative, there were, and even when I worked on the stealth fighter, there were a lot of things, a lot of briefings that we were given, that we were told on how to deal with the media, and if someone inquired, and how not to verify, and all these briefings, yet the thing actually did exist.
So here's this professional. He's a scientist. He's an engineer. He's working with the space program. He's got probably one of the best positions one would aspire to when you're a young boy interested in space and you grow up into this. What happened besides the OBE experiences, but what happened to make you want to quit that, write the book, and do it? I mean, something must have hit you like a beam of light, right?
Well, I can't say it was any particular experience, but I would definitely say it was a series of experiences. And they all happened within about 10 days. And that 10 days, I always lecture about this 10 days. That was 10 days that changed my life, because I went from a non-believer. I thought that we were here by some some accident, and when the body expired, that was it. And I went from that to actually believing that we do have an eternal soul, and this soul is capable of leaving the body, and that there's life after death and reincarnation and all a bunch of things within a 10-day period. And I have to say that I remember when it started. I was 35 years old, and all of a sudden, you know, normally I have night paralysis episodes about once a week. But all of a sudden, for some reason, at 35 years of age, they went from once a week to several times a week, and then sometimes three times a night.
Same symptoms.
Yeah, definitely, except more intense.
Yeah.
That the voice, I will never forget it, the voice that I heard calling my name when I was 5 years old is the same voice I heard calling my name when I was 35 years old.
So you're saying you were almost like summoned?
I would say that I definitely didn't look for this, and I definitely think that it came to me.